believe so. Here, Rabbis, let's discuss the sugya of a shliach tzibur. In this week's parasha, when the frogs come upon the land of Egypt, Paro comes to Moshe and he says to Moshe, Moshe, I cannot take this anymore. Get rid of the frogs. The tzvardim, by the way, are the tzvardim really frogs? Some hold the tzvardim are crocodiles. Are crocodiles, I cannot live. What? The Syrians? Okay, whatever they may be, we have only a few minutes, please. Please remove the tzvardim. So Moshe says, I will leave the city. Please, everybody say, please. I will leave the city. When I leave the city, I'll efrois kapai. I will raise my hands in prayer to Hashem, to pray to Hashem that the tzvardim shall have a mass exodus. A mass exodus. The tzvardim. So, Sephoradim.
I don't know.
The Sephoradim are going to have a mass exodus. Sephoradim. The Tzadi.
You know the Sephoradim didn't get it directly to Shashim.
Okay, Abayisai, please. Abayisai. Al Tikre Sephoradim, Ella Sephoradim. When Richard Joel became the president of Yeshiva University, the headlines were Uvalit Sion Goyel, Al Tikre Goyel, Ellen Joel. Last year, Rai Davin, they honored someone, his name was Henach. So the ad was, V'noyach motzachein b'enei Hashem. Al tikrei noyach, ela henach. Then in parentheses it says, noyach mitzibin greizen. That was good. That was a really good one. All right. Rabbi Yisai, please, let's, a few minutes, okay? Please, Rabbi Yisai, okay? Adkan. Decorum. Please. No comments on the Adkan. Adkan. All right. Come on. Please. Moshe Rabbeinu, he leaves the city. He says to Paro, I cannot daven here in this city. I will daven to Hashem when I leave the city. Moshe here serves in the role of a Baal Tefillah. He's going to lead in prayer. And here it's a private prayer, but I want to use this as a springboard to talk about a very interesting topic of a shliach tzibur in the Beis HaKnesses. What exactly is the role of a shliach tzibur in the Beis HaKnesses? I have here a fantastic, I use this from all the time, of Dvorkis, and he has a very large, very big topic on the sugya of a shliach tzibur. And in fact, the Lelis, they've been Sefarim, whole Sefarim been published just on this topic, on what exactly are the laws, the halachos that are unique, that a shliach tzibur needs to know. The first thing, let's talk about the term, his title. What is he called? There are really two terms that we find in Chazal describing the one who leads the prayers. The more common term today is the shliach tzibur. But then there's another term called the chazan. The chazan. Today, when we use it colloquially, not a chazan, the way it's correctly pronounced, but a chazon. We say like in Yiddish. We put the emphasis on the mila'el, a chazan. And when you say the word a chazan, it means chazonus. It means brace yourself. You're not going to please, please ask everyone, no talking. Let me be blunt. Please, we have a few minutes, and let's just try to learn something for a few minutes. We call him, when we use the term today, chazan, not chazan, it has a connotation of helfgat. You hear someone who has a koyach adibur, has a gift, and there are people who appreciate this art, and there are some people who don't. Not everyone is trained. It's an acquired. It's like wine. You have to be trained. It's an acquired taste. If you give a person like me an expensive glass of wine, I don't appreciate it. I've not been trained. I'm not accustomed to this. It means nothing to me. Give me a $500 a bottle of wine, $500 doesn't mean anything. You give to a person, a connoisseur, who knows the art, who knows the difference between a $500 bottle of wine and a bottle of wine for $3.99. Okay, he has an appreciation of what good wine is. It's the same thing with chazonos. It's a beautiful, beautiful, powerful ability to express yourself before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it requires training. And we today, in our language, we call that a chazon, who performs chazonos. And they're all different types. Some of them have more feelings, some have less feelings, some can do this, some can do that, chulu v'chulu. And then we have what we call a shliach tzibur. A shliach tzibur, basically, it's pretty dry, right? It's a pretty dry, he knows how to read the words. Some can read better than others, and they have melodies. Today, you cannot be a shliach tzibur unless you have a good voice. A bal tefila. We use the term a bal tefila, really, bal tefila and shliach tzibur is interchangeable, right? Bal tefila, which today means you sing the popular melodies that we're familiar with. People like to sing, the tzibur joins in together, the shliach tzibur's voice is usually drowned. The goal is that his voice should be drowned out. Is that he should sing the melody with such feeling and emotion that the entire tzibur is moved to join and sing together. You can barely hear the shliach tzibur. When you go hear a performance of a chazan, no one's drowning out his voice. You're paying good money to hear him, not to hear your neighbor next to you ruin the tzvila. Where does the term, now in Chazal, that's not what these two terms mean. In Chazal, we have also throughout Shas and Shulchan Aruch, we have the word Chazan and the word Shaliach Tzibur. In Chazal, what's the difference between the two? It's not so simple. I have not seen here a really good answer. And he basically says there is no difference. Today, again, chazan is a chazan, which means chazonus. And it means you're going to be paying good money to hear him do his thing. And if you're not going to appreciate what he's doing, you're not going to come to shul. You have to appreciate the art of chazonus. In Chazal, it doesn't seem that there existed such a thing. Or if it existed, it was so normal that that's called a bal tefila. It's all one in the same. If that's the case, so why then is there a term called Chazan? So he has some fascinating answers of where does the word Chazan come from? And it really comes from a Targum. In Parshas Vayera. Vayera Elov Hashem Be'elonei Mamre. What is the Targum Unkelis of the word Vayera? Mark, you're looking up for us? You know, Mr. Plotnik, you can look up Vayera. The beginning of Vayera, tell us what it says there in the Targum of Vayera. The first word of Parshas Vayera, it's Chazan. It's the word Chazah, which basically means the word Chazah is the translation of the word Vayera, is to appear. Is to appear or to show. To Ribbono Shel Olam, he appeared. The leader of the prayer, he shows, he demonstrates. What does it say there?
This
Galilei. So it's the Targum Yonasan. It's not the Targum Yonasan. He takes us here. I knew that was going to happen. I knew he said Targum Yonasan. Targum Yonasan. He says it means Chazah. Vayera, you're not going to have that. That doesn't have it. Doesn't have it there. Of David, it doesn't have it there. It's not in the Achumash. Yeah.
Is it an oversimplification to say in this day and age every chazan is a shliach tzibur?
Yes, it is. I think the colloquial expression chazan today is not he serves a shliach tzibur. The way it's used today in our language has a new connotation. It means he will perform chazonos. He's professionally trained.
A shaman.
But what does it really mean? It means that Targum Yonasan translates the word Vayera Elov Hashem. It means Chazah. From the word, and we've taken that word and we've adapted it to a Chazan, which means the person who appears, or in this grammar, the grammar, the way we use it, the person who demonstrates, he shows the people in the audience, in the tzibur, how to daven. He is not just the one who stands there in the front. He reads the words, and by him reading the words, he demonstrates to the people, this is what you also should do. I'm going to say the words, kadosh, 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 and you're going to say now, kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. Or along those lines, or however the service goes. The way we daven today is clearly not the way they daven in ancient times. Okay, in ancient times, there were no sidurim. It was done, everything was done baal peh. So chazan is a very fascinating insight. Again, we have to appreciate that in Chazal, the Chazan and the Baal Tefillah, those terms are seemingly interchangeable, more or less. It has to be, there's a nuance of a difference between the two. But on a very similar level, they're interchangeable. And Chazan means the person who doesn't just stand there like a robot at the Amud and repeats the Tefillah, and no one's interested in what he's doing. Everyone is just here to get over with it. You say your Tefillah, and he repeats it. No. He is the person who Einei Kol Yisrael Olecha is upon you, is geared towards him, and he will demonstrate, and he will show the tzibur when to stand, when to sit, when to raise your voice, when to lower your voice.
Like a guide.
A guide. Exactly. What is a guide? To show you. It has the word, the connotation of showing. A fascinating insight. Then he says something even more fascinating. Some disagree with that interpretation, and they say the word chazan in the Gemara really appeared at a later point in time. It's a more modern term. And what does it mean? It refers to a period of history, Jewish history, when they began to write, there's no printing press here, okay, they began to actually write down the Roshei Perakim, not necessarily every single word of the Tzvila, but they wrote down a siddur for the leader. Today you come to shul, in every shul you have siddurim, and on the omud there is the siddur of the shaliach tzibur. How is the siddur of the shaliach tzibur different than our siddur? Large print, that's it. Large print, and that's all it is, right? Usually it's exactly the article, it's a carbon copy, and if it's a Beis Meir sitter, or if it's a this sitter, this is just a large size print of the same exact thing. And there's a big dilemma. Are you allowed? I don't like large print. I want to use my sitter. Are you even allowed to do that? If you are appointed to be the Shliach Tzibur, there's a dilemma in the Pesach if you're even allowed to use a different sitter. This sitter has been designated for a purpose. To push it away is an insult to the Tzibur. It's a halachic issue of using your own siddur when you serve as the shaliach tzibur. Don't just push away the siddur on the amud, you have to use that siddur. Even if your siddur is exactly the same nusach. It goes without saying that if in the siddur it's a different nusach, sometimes the shulas ha-hakpada, they want you to say a certain word this way, they want you to say ushvachacha instead of the shivchacha, they want you to put the comma elokeinu kavu seinu barchenu babrocha hamishuleshes instead of hamishuleshes batoira. Okay, there's sometimes you have a tzibur that for whatever reason that no one knows, it's their custom to say certain things in a certain way. They makbit to say yiskadal and not yiskadel. Whatever, it's none of your business. It's none of your business. It's the rabbi's decision, and the siddur indicates this is the minhag hamakom. So it goes without saying, you're not going to tamper with that. We're talking over here where we're going to say exactly what the tzibur is supposed to say, but I don't want to use that siddur. There are too many germs in that siddur. I want to use my siddur that I'm used to. I know where everything is. No, not so simple. Maybe you tell me there are germs. I don't know. You have to, case by case, but generally the default is you mechuyev to use the siddur that is on the amud. Now, hear this. Let's go back to ancient times when there was no printing press and everything was handwritten. It was very common in the Beis HaKnesses, there was only one siddur. Every shul had one siddur. It was handwritten. Rav Amram Goin, he wrote the first siddur, Rav Amram Goin, and maybe before Rav Amram Goin, they already had siddurim. the shaliach tzibur had a siddur. Did the siddur have every single word? Not necessarily. It could very well be that chunks of the siddur was said baal peh, but at least it was a guide. At least by the omud, wherever the leader stood, which is another question, where in ancient times did he actually stand? Wherever the leader stood, he had a book, a codex, with paper and words. Either it was the whole print, or it was Rosh Prokin. And he led the prayers. He looked inside. Everyone else in the shul
followed him.
They didn't have a sitter. They sit at Baal Peh.
Right.
Who is the only one who gets to see?
Gets to see?
Who's the only one that gets to see? Oh. It's the leader. The Shliach Tzibur. The Shliach Tzibur is called the Chazan because he literally gets to see what he's saying. Because he's the only one that has a book in his hand. Everyone else has nothing to see. They are reciting the prayer Baal Peh, by heart, or repeating from ear what the leader says. Or they're not even saying, they're just listening. Either they're listening, but they're not seeing. He's the only one that has a book to look inside. That is why he's called the Chazan. Because Chazan comes from the word Chose, Vayera, Re'ia, to see. The one that gets to see, everyone else has to listen. Has to listen or has to say it by heart. It's a whole different pshat. The first interpretation, everyone agrees that the word Chazan comes from the word Re'ia. Vayera, the Targum, Yonason translates it to Chazah. Something along that, I'm not sure I'm saying it correctly, but something along that Shoresh, we learn from that it's Re'iyah. What is the Re'iyah of the Shliach Tzibur? It's either he is a guide, he is showing the people in the shul how to pray, or he actually gets to look into the Siddur. That's one Machi. We're out of time, so we'll take one more short thing which relates to the Parasha. I don't understand this, but it's halacha, and it occupies it takes a lot of ink and a lot of rabbinic literature. And that is, let's say you're the Shliach Tzibur. Come to shul one day, and guess what? The heat is not working. The heat is on strike. There's a Con Ed truck outside. They shut down the heat. They haven't paid the bills. They turned off the heat. There's no heat in shul. Okay, so there's no heat. Big deal. We'll daven anyway with no heat. You're cold, put on your coat. The Shliach Tzibur is very cold. He's a chiv. He has yard sight, whatever it is. He gets up to daven, puts on his coat, has a tefillin, talus. He puts the talus on top of his coat. No problem. I'm very cold. He puts on his gloves. Are you allowed to daven wearing gloves? So if you ask me, yeah, in halacha, when you ask, I'm not a pesek, not even a million miles of being a pesek. Don't get me wrong. I know nothing of nothing. But when you go to a pesek, a good pesek, the rules of psak are, you don't just say, you have a shayla? Oh, a shayla? It's usser. If you walked into my office to ask me a shayla, the answer before you, it's usser. Maybe I can find the heter for you. Let me hear what you have to say. When you walk over the threshold of most Rabbanim, just walking over the threshold, it's already usser. Now I'm going to struggle my head off to find for you a heter. That's a very naive and not correct way to be a Pesach. When a Pesach, you come over the threshold, it's mutter. You have a shayla? If you're coming to ask a shayla, it's mutter. Why should it be usser? You always have to look at a shayla from that perspective. Why should it be usser? Maybe taka is, what you're presenting to me, it's taka usser because I see a real problem. You're right, it's usser. But otherwise, is this a problem? No. What could be the potential, the possibilities of why there should be a problem? Either because of A, really? Is that really a problem? Man, I disagree. That's not a problem. What else could be an issue in this case? This? Nah, it's not an issue. What other issues could possibly be here? This? yeah, you know, there might be an issue, but I think we can work out a solution for that. Okay. So any other possibilities? No, it's mutter. The default of asking a question is, it's mutter. There appear to be problems, and that's why you're coming to ask the question. So let's deal with those things to see if they really, and if they are problems, then you're right. I'm sorry, I can't help you. It's not going to be us, sir. But the default, if someone comes to a rabbi and says, Rabbi, am I allowed to wear gloves, put on my muffins when? I don't know why I said that. Or am I allowed to, my mitts. Am I allowed to wear my gloves when I daven? Why not? Right? Is why not? What should be the issue? So guess what? There is an issue. The Gemara talks about there is an issue. What's the issue? The issue is the karbonos davening tefillah. There's a very big issue on this topic. I'm probably gonna do it again tomorrow because there's a lot of good stuff here on this topic. When you davening is kineged the tanidim and the musafim. When a person davens, you daven for two reasons. Number one, there's just a general halach. The avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov established that we should pray to Hashem independent, nothing to do with us, karbonos. And there's another reason why we daven three times a day. Shachris is kineged the tamid shel shachar. Mincha is kineged the tamid shel bein harbayim. Ma'ariv is kineged the hekter, chalovim, and the emurim on the mizbeach, kol alayla. When you're davening, you have to follow the rules of bringing a korban. In the Gemara, it says clearly, it is osur to do any chelek of the avodah wearing gloves. And the Gemara makes litzanis. The Gemara is critical of a certain kohen. He wore gloves. He didn't want to get his hands dirty when he brought the korbanos. So he had gloves. And he was banned. And they made an example out of him. You're not allowed to wear gloves when you do the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. Your hands have to be bare. You need dexterity. And not forget about the dexterity. You have to hold on to the animal because that's the way you do avodah. It has to be no chatzitza. Being that tefillah is b'mekayim hakravas karbanos, you have to stand just like la'amoid l'shareis, you must stand when you daven. And there are a lot of nafkaminis, we'll talk maybe tomorrow, and you're not allowed to wear gloves. It's a tremendous chiddush. Even if your hands are cold, no gloves. It's a bizoyin to wear gloves. It's a bizoyin for the tefillah that you should be wearing gloves. Who would ever know this? If you come to shul, it's freezing cold, you wear your coat. No, that doesn't say anywhere you can wear your coat. You can wear your coat, you can put on a scarf, and you put your tilt underneath on your arm the way you're supposed to, and you put your, on top of your head, you put on a big furry hat on top of your head, you tilt around your head, and you tilt around on your arm, and you put a coat on top of that, you put on your coat, you put your towels over your coat, or put your towels under your coat. Maybe it doesn't fit, put towels under your coat, you can wear it, it's good. But you're not allowed to wear gloves. Your hands have to freeze. Unless, I mean, maybe there are exceptions, I don't know, but generally.
Is that unanimous?
What?
Is that unanimous that you're
wearing? Yeah. You have to without wearing gloves. Why am I telling you this? It's a very interesting halacha. It also appears to come from this parasha. At least it's not. It appears to be that there's a remes to this. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he goes out to be mispalel to Hashem, his spoer olai. You tell me when you want the frogs to go away and I'll daven to Hashem. L'mochar, tomorrow. Tomorrow, Moshe goes out. Ephrois kapai, I lift up my hands to Hashem in prayer. Prayer is defined in Chumash with the expression of lifting up your hands, not just by. And the Chazal in fact said that in ancient times the way they daven was by raising their hands. The reason why we don't do this today is because the goyim do this. So because the goyim do this, whatever the reasons are, we don't do it. But the mahus, the essence of prayer is to raise your hands. You're embarrassed to raise your hands to Hashem? You want to cover them with gloves? That's a disgrace to the tefillah. So it's really, there are two elements. Number one, in the laws of korbanos, you're not allowed to wear gloves. It's a disgrace. And being that tefillah is bimkoim, tefillah is bimkoim in the place of karbonos, no gloves. Number two, the whole essence of prayer is defined in the Torah and in Tanakh as lifting up your hands. We don't do it, okay? We put our hands down. But the hands is what tefillah. You're covering your hands? Well, you're embarrassed to daven to Hashem. Your hands have to be covered and nice and warm. That's not tefillah. That's a disgrace to the koyach tefillah. And certainly, okay. So maybe you'll find exceptions when it comes to maybe an individual is not well, but the shliach tzibur, the standards that we demand of the shliach tzibur are much greater than the standards we demand of the individual. And we know that people can't stand. There are people that don't have the koyach to stand. For sure, if you don't, you can't stand. So you can't stand. So you sit down. Are you allowed to be mimaneh a shliach tzibur that can't stand? You're not allowed to. You're not allowed to appoint a shliach tzibur if you can't stand, because the tzura of tefillah is to stand. It's we learn from a carbon la'amoy b'shares. If the shliach tzibur wants to wear gloves, sorry, you're not going to be the shliach tzibur, even though you have a beautiful voice. And no one can do it like you, but it's one of the essential requirements of tefillah that you stand and you don't wear gloves. If you're a private person and you need to wear the gloves, okay, there are, you can do a lot of things. You're cold, but not as the shliach tzibur. All right, we'll continue maybe with this with a lot more in the Torah. Are you going to say Kaddish and Chalam and 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 Kaddish and Chalam and